wonderful once again to have the opportunity to meet together with you. I've been coming out here a little in the five years I've been ordained and even before. And I want to get to know you all, but Sister Jeanette, Brother Hubert were some of the first that I remember getting to know. And thank God for people like that in His kingdom, for so great a cloud of witnesses for us all, that I can go home to Texas, and though we be so far apart, I can think on God's people, where the Lord's blessed me to go. And I can relate, as the Apostle Paul said in Philippian letter, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I tell you, the Lord's kingdom is a precious thing. And it's a blessing that we can travel and go and be with one another. But the greatest blessing of it all is that the Lord visits us. That He comes down. Talking about the mercy seat, He says, there will I meet with you. I want to start my remarks this evening in 1 Peter. First chapter. And I beg an interest that you continue to pray for me and for Brother James as he is to follow. Verse 6, he says, I'm trying to figure out, you know, where you're starting at, where ends, but I got to start somewhere. Let me start in verse 8. Whom having not seen, talking about Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of yourself, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Last night I talked a little about being sealed with the Spirit of promise, that how important it is that to believe God, to believe His promises. It says His promises are yea and amen. And the rest that we can have whenever we do believe. All Hebrews 4. All that rest. He says, therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest now for the people of God. And I tell you, that happens when we believe. It says here, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. I tried to speak a little about joy last night and happiness. It says that joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then it says receiving the end of your faith. I believe receiving the promise and that the Lord blesses us to see our salvation, even the salvation of your souls. He says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That's what is on my mind right now. The glory that should follow. I love it how I can read. I've read 1 Peter a few times. I don't know how many times. But I read it today on the front porch. And that, the glory that should follow, just stuck out, just jumped out at me. And it says, these testified before times of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Here in Hebrews 12, where I quoted a while ago, or quoted at, about the so great a cloud of witnesses. Wherefore, it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who, for the joy that was set before him. Oh, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I tell you, I look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Oh, and I tell you, I can see, I love to see the pictures of our Lord in David. Whenever he, from the very beginning, after he was anointed, he came upon where Goliath was, where he was making a mockery of the children of Israel. And David heard that. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? He says, what shall be done to the man that kills this man? Oh, and his brothers, his older brothers, says, we know the naughtiness of thy heart. You've just come out to see the battle. And then David says, what have I now said? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Oh, I tell you, David, oh, I love that. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, he had a cause when he came. Oh, from the very beginning, the first words that we have that our Savior spoke when Joseph and Mary went a day's journey away, 3 days back, and they found them. Said, how have you dealt with us sorrowfully? We've sought you. We've looked for you. He said, how is it you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business? I tell you, the Lord, from the very beginning, his first words recorded in Scripture declare his cause. He must be about his Father's business. Oh, and I can tell you, we can look and we can dig into the Scriptures. Oh, and we can find that covenant of grace. Oh, that the Lord chose a people before the world began. I tell you, I love to see, if you will, the transfer of God's people, how he chose them. He loved them before the world began. And it tells us in Jeremiah 31, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, but it says, all that the Father giveth me in John chapter 6. I tell you, the Lord, the Father gave those children to his Son. He gave them. Oh, and I tell you, there's, it's spoken of the faith that God, the Father, had in Christ. He knew. He had full confidence that he would do his, he would fulfill his cause. Oh, he must be about his Father's business. Oh, for the joy. The joy that was set before him. I tell you, that joy was that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. That his family, if you will, that his father's children, his brothers and sisters, would be with them in heaven someday. Is there not a cause, David said? John chapter 12, Jesus said, now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful. I tell you, when it testified, it said, of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, what he went through. We think and meditate on the things he endured, the things that men did to him, the pain that he suffered. I didn't finish quoting, did I? Now is my soul exceedingly sorrowful. But what shall I now say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, I tell you, I love it where it says Jesus, when it was made to go to Jerusalem, he set his face as it were a flint. I tell you, he knew what he was going to have to endure. He knew the things that were required for this joy that was set before him. But I tell you, he set his face as it were a flint because, I tell you, it was important to God the Father. Is there not a cause? And we think, as I was saying, on the things he suffered. Oh, I think about the things he said on the cross. I thirst. And I think of the natural meaning of it. He was suffering and thirsting. Oh, but I think there's a spiritual side to that. I believe he was thirsting for that cup that he said, Father, if it be thy will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I tell you, there was a cup, and he drained it to the bitter dregs. I thirst. He said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you know what they said around him? Oh, don't you just get mad when you see the mocking they did to our Lord? Oh, makes you sick. They said, behold, he crieth for Elias. Let's see if he shall come to help. But what is it? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I tell you, you've heard it said, and I'll say it again, the Lord never asked a question he didn't know the answer to. But I tell you, he asked these questions that those around us and that we can read it and we can think of it. Why? And I've heard it where they said the Father turned his back on him. And no, I believe he set his wrath on him. His wrath meant for you and me. And I'm talking about these sufferings that we can think on and relate all that, the pain he went through, but I tell you, that right there, being forsaken, being put the wrath of God poured out on the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I tell you, that was a pain we can't know. And because he knew it, we will never know it. Oh, you ever been tempted? You ever been tempted to say, God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, I've had those fleeting thoughts. And I get mad at myself. Don't ever say that, Jeff. Because he will not forsake us. He has said he will never leave us nor forsake us. But I tell you, his darling son, Jesus, whom they heard the voice when he was baptized, behold, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. They heard it again on the Mount of Transfiguration. Behold, or this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I tell you, it was his beloved son. And that's how he forsaked. Oh, he didn't feel the lovingness of a father then. He felt the wrath of an almighty God. They testified of the sufferings of Christ. And the glory that should follow. This is talking about what the prophets in the Old Testament were testifying. It tells us in 2 Peter about the Scriptures. And, you know, I mentioned that the voices that came from heaven. Peter said, we heard that. We heard it. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Then He says, we have. This right here, I read this. This is amazing. Folks, Peter just told us, I was with Him. I saw, I heard the voice, but there's something better, a more sure word, a prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. I tell you, Brother Gary prayed for this country, for the coronavirus and the fightings of this country, and just the unsettledness of this country. I tell you, does it seem dark? But I tell you, it says that God's Word is like a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And then He says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All these things that here in 1 Peter, he's saying they prophesied of this, the sufferings of Christ. And I thought about going to the 53rd Isaiah and 63rd Isaiah, but that's some prophecy of Christ right there. That's your homework, I guess. They testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory. The glory that should follow. Romans 4 tells us He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. I tell you, look at in 24th chapter of Luke. Look at the countenance of those two on the road to Emmaus. I believe they were concentrating on the sufferings of Christ they had seen 3 days before. And I tell you, there's a song in Songbook. Oh, give me, Lord, my sins to mourn. I used to think that's a weird song. I don't want to think about them. But I tell you, it's those sins that have our Savior's body torn. And those two on the road to Emmaus in the 24th chapter of Luke, they were sad. And I tell you, without the resurrection of the Lord, we're all sad. But He was delivered for our offenses, but raised again for our justification. And I tell you, behold the power 3 days later. That power that brought Jesus out of that grave. And the declaration that it declared, if you will, that the work, that the cause that He came to do was done. I was talking about the words He cried on the cross. He says, it is finished. Don't you know those people that heard it thought, we got them. We got them. But I tell you what, spiritually speaking, what a declaration that is. I tell you, it's our battle cry to this day, 2,000 years later. It is finished. The cause of Christ, the reason He came into this world, it is finished. It is accomplished. And He suffered there on the cross. Oh, but I tell you, 3 days later, He came out of that grave. Oh, and it was glorious. Raised again for our justification. Next verse in 5th chapter of Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith. I tell you, we have something to believe in now. And when we believe, oh, we can get into justification. But I tell you, eternally, in the presence, in the throne room of God, we're justified by the blood. And I tell you, it refers to Satan as the great accuser of brethren, saying he was cast out, who accused the brethren before God, night, day and night. Oh, and I tell you, he was defeated there. He had no more audience with them. Where does he go now? Oh, where was he? Whenever God found him. Going to the church, if you will, or the sanctuary with Job. All wandering to and fro. Up and down the earth. Tells us that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I tell you, he comes to us. He comes to us and he tries to convince us how rotten we are. You're not worthy of this. You're not worthy of that. Oh, and then when you get that defeated, you think, the world, the church can't live without you, maybe. I tell you, the devil works the ditches. That's the way I see it. If you're in this ditch, he'll try to get you. If you're trying to get out of it, you'll overcorrect and end up in this ditch. Yeah, I'm not worthy to be in the church. Well, I don't know if they can make it without me. That's the next thing you might be thinking. But I tell you, it tells us to let your moderation be known. All right, now back to my verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, he visits us and tries to convince us. Oh, but when we believe, I tell you, the Lord blesses us to see his glory and his righteousness. And we can see that his righteousness is imputed to us. Oh, and we can look and we can say, yes, oh, I am a sinner. Oh, but thanks be unto God, by the sufferings of Christ, I am a sinner saved by the grace of an almighty God. I tell you, that'll bring you peace. That'll get you through the hard times in this world. The glory that should follow Jesus. Because of Jesus' sufferings, what he did, Brother Hubert is beholding the glory of God. Wow. Makes you a little jealous, don't it? Glory has been a word that before I was preaching, I was trying to figure out how to define that word. And I hope Brother James gets up here and preaches on glory and tells us exactly how to define glory. Because I can't. But it's awesome. It's great. Moses besought the Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. 33rd Exodus, chapter of Exodus. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I tell you, we'll see the glory. We'll see his glory when we're with him in heaven. Oh, but I tell you, his glory, we can see aspects here and now. I'm going to 33rd chapter of Exodus. I beseech thee. He said, show me thy glory. How do we get through hard times? We're in times now that generation, no one alive has seen days like this. A pandemic. What do we do? Am I wrong? Is he right? Is he right? Am I wrong? Oh, and me and Brother Daniel Wisner, we got to joking with each other. Whenever we weren't meeting at Stratton, and he was meeting, he was a Corona Baptist, and I was an isolation Baptist. You know? Joking. I mean, goodness, our history. We'd split over curtains sometimes, you know? Now we don't know. No, he ought to be doing this over there. Christian liberty. I am getting awful rants, aren't I? Christian liberty. That's the whole thing of church autonomy. I don't know what's good for y'all, but I'm going to pray that I do what's good for us where I pastor. But how do we get through these times? Well, Moses had a task before him. Lord says, you're going to lead my people. Well, he says, I can't do it. Except you go with me. He says, I beseech thee. I'm getting all over it, I know, but I'm going to try to get out of the way quick. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. He says, no man can see my face and live. But there is a place by me. I tell you, we can't handle the full glory of God in this veil of flesh. But there is a place by me. And I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. I will set thee upon a rock in the cleft of the rock. I tell you, the rock is all around him. And that rock is Jesus. And I will make my glory to pass by thee. I will put my hand over thee. And when I pass by, I will show thee my hind parts. I tell you, that's all he could see. That's all he could handle. But God in his mercy showed it to him. And I tell you, there's a life we can focus on what we can't see right now. But I tell you, what we can see is glorious. And I tell you, it strengthened Moses in that day. And it strengthens us today. All because our Lord and Savior suffered. One day we'll be with Him in glory. And today, He set up a place where we can come and experience that glory here and now. Come ahead, brother.